العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. The heart is a very delicate creation. It turns quickly towards something and away from something. All of us know this. All of us have hearts. And by heart, I mean that center of feeling and attraction, center of decision making. This is what we mean by heart here. It's very delicate. There's a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, reported in both Sunni and Shi'i sources that قلب المؤمن بين إصبع الرحمن, the heart of a believer is between two fingers of God. Of course, this is a very beautiful metaphor. Certainly God doesn't have fingers, but very beautiful metaphor that he turns it. يا مقلب القلوب, oh, the one who turns the hearts. And he turns it towards him or away from him. He guides, he gives us his address, where he is, or he turns us away from his address. He doesn't want us to go close to him. And all these are because we have shown something which either he has loved or he has hated. If he loves what we do, he turns our hearts towards him and we go close. If he hates what we do, he turns our hearts away from us, away from himself, and then we go away from him. And this is the meaning of يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. He guides whoever he wishes. He misguides whoever he wishes. However, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Only the fasiqun will be misguided for what they did. Why I say this? First of all, a verse was recited here in Surah Saf, which is quite related to what I was thinking. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. When Musa alayhi salam said to his people, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, why do you annoy me? Why do you give me hardship while you know I am a messenger from God? You saw what I did. I saved you from Pharaoh. I split the sea for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I have given you all, shown you all those miracles. Still, you are questioning me. You are disobeying me. You are opposing me. لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي. Why you do this? وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. You know that I am a messenger of God. Not that you don't know or you doubt. You do not doubt. You know it. Then Allah says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they deviated in their action, they knew they are annoying no one but a messenger of God. When they deviated in their action, Allah made their hearts to deviate. Deviate where? Deviate away from him. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. This is the guidance, hidayah. If your action is wrong, if you are a fasiq, fasiq is someone who trespasses the limits of human action, of right conduct. If you trespass that, then Allah would make your heart, deviate away from Him. You don't love Him anymore. You don't enjoy worshipping Him anymore. You don't like to stand before Him and pray. Even if you do it, you do by force. You don't like it. Why? Because the heart has turned. You cannot do anything with this heart. This heart is even not in your hand. Sometimes you want to force yourself to do something for God, to pray, to cry. You cannot do it. The heart doesn't come forth. It doesn't come forth. It doesn't allow you. Why? Because it is not in your hand. It is bayna isba'i ar-Rahman. It is between the two fingers of Rahman. Immediately, the imprint of your action is printed on your heart. And this is the meaning of Wallahu Sari'ul Hisab. Allah is quick in reckoning. Quick in reckoning in the sense that as soon as you do something, the heart swallows it. The heart swallows it. And then that would determine which way the heart would want to go. لا إكراه في الدين. You cannot force religion on anyone. قد تبين الرشد من الغي. The guidance and the straightway, they are quite clear now. Now it's up to people. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever rejects, kufr here means rejection. يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, whoever rejects طاغوت and believes in God, they have clung to a very firm, to a very firm string, rope of God. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. It will be never cut off. Musa alayhi salam said to his people, يَا قَوْمِ لِمَا تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Why do you annoy me so much, and you know I am messenger of God? Now, when we come to the Muslim Ummah, now we are commemorating the Arba'in of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I want to mention one argument from Imam Hussein alayhi salam here, that he said to one of the leaders of deviation, why are you doing this to us? Not to Yazid or Ubaydullah, or not to those people. To someone who claimed to be one of the leaders of the faithful. He said, why are you doing this to us? And you know who we are. And he gives a very beautiful example from the Quran. Very beautiful. I want to mention tonight this story, which is mentioned in Tafsir al-Ayyashi. Why is mentioned in Tafsir al-Ayyashi? Because it refers to a verse of the Quran which gives some sort of explanation of the tafsir of that verse. It says that دَخَلَ نَافِعُ إِبْنُ الْأَزْرَقِ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. Ibn al-Azraq was one of the heads of Khawarij. Khawarij had initially three leaders. A very extreme leader who was Nafi' bin al-Azraq, then a half-extreme leader, Najd ibn al-Umar al-Hanafi, and a moderate leader, Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, his followers, Abadiyya, still live. In Oman, the Abadiyya live. In North Africa, in Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, they still live. Why? Because he was moderate. Now, all others are not extant anymore. This Abdullah, this Nafi ibn al-Azraq, regarded no one a Muslim unless they had followed the strict rules of his aqidah, his faith. Regarded no one else as Muslim. And After Ali ibn Abi Talib, he had lots of stories here and there, and eventually he was killed by Ibn Zubayr. He was always fighting with all other Muslims. Now, this occasion probably has happened when Hussein alayhi salam had traveled to Mecca on his way to Kufa. Probably it may have happened before that, but this is when Imam Hussein usually used to sit in Masjid al-Haram and Abdullah ibn al-Abbas was with him. Here it says that دخل نافع بن الأزرق المسجد الحرام والحسين بن علي عليه السلام مع عبد الله بن العباس. Abdullah ibn Abbas, of course, was Hibr al-Ummah, the most knowledgeable man in the Ummah. No one disputes his knowledge. He was older than Imam Hussein at that time, of course, a few years older than Imam Hussein. And of course, he was a staunch advocate of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. They were sitting جالسان في الحجر in Hijr Ismail. They were sitting there. Usually when they performed their ibadat, they used to sit in Hijr al-Ismail because that's a very holy place. Unfortunately, nowadays it's very difficult to sit in Hijr al-Ismail or to pray there. But at that time, it was not that much crowded. So they were sitting there. Nafi ibn al-Azraq came and فَجَلَسَ إِلَيْهِمَا sat in front of them. ثُمَّ قَالَ يَبْنَ Abbas. He did not pay any heed to Hussein ibn Ali al-Islam, as he was not there. As he was not there. This was the rude habits of these people, disregarding everyone. So as Hussein al-Islam was not there, he said, قَالَ يَا ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ سَفْلِي إِلَٰهَكَ الَّذِي تَعْبُدُهُ. Look at the sentences that he uses here. Describe for me the God that you worship. What he asks, again, he wants to evaluate quickly whether Abdullah ibn Abbas is a kafir or a mu'min. Certainly, if he was here now and he would have asked us, most of us would have been kuffar, according to his criteria. So he said, Sifli ilahaka alladhi ta'buduh. Explain, describe for me your God that you worship. Fa'atraqa ibn Abbas tawilan mustabta'a. Ibn Abbas put his head down, did not speak. Of course, he would not speak when Hussein ibn Ali is sitting there. Although Hussein Ali was younger, but he was from Ahlul Bayt, he was ma'soom, he had the ultimate knowledge possible for a human being, so he did not speak. He just put his head down, did not say anything. فَقَالَ لَهُ الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِلَيَّ يَبْنَ الْأَزْرَقُ, as saying that Ibn Abbas is not going to answer you. Ask me, I'll describe my God to you. يَبْنَ الْأَزْرَقُ أُجِيبُكَ أَمَّا سَأَلْتَ عَنْ, I will answer you. Now, another reason why Ibn Abbas did not answer was probably he was afraid that these people would attribute him to kufr. Going outside Masjid al-Haram and saying that Abdullah ibn Abbas is a kafir because he believes in such a God that we do not believe in. So, he said, you ask me, I answer you. فَقَالَ مَا إِيَّاكَ سَأَلْتُ فَتُجِيبُنِ. He said, I didn't ask you. I'm not going to ask you why you want to answer me. Now, one question is why Imam Hussein cared at all? Why did he say, although he knew that this is an insulting man, this is not a man of etiquette to speak to. He's head of Khawarij, he used to say Ali ibn Abi Talib is a kafir, Hasan ibn Ali is a kafir. Why did he try to start a dialogue with him at all? Now, the reason is because still this is his duty. Still, although Nafi ibn al-Azraq did all what he had done, still he thinks that he has a duty to guide. In this Ziyarah of Arba'een, what we recite is that we testify that badala muhjatahu fiik liyastanqidha ibadaka min adh-dhalalah min al-jahalah wa hayrat adh-dhalalah. He sacrificed his muhja. Muhja is the blood which is inside the heart. He sacrificed his muhja for you to save your ibad from jahala, from ignorance, and from hayra, bewilderment, of dhalala. This is what he did. He fought for it. He died for it. And now here, Abdullah ibn al-Azraq, Nafi ibn al-Azraq has come to him and he asks the question from someone else. Imam, although he knows that he's going to insult, he says, ask me, I will answer you. When he said, ma iyyaka sa'altu, I didn't ask you. Here, Abdullah ibn Abbas became angry. He said, ma an ibn Rasulullah. Stop this. This is the grandson of the Prophet. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَحْلِ بَيْتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدِنِ الْحِكْمَةِ. He is from the Ahl Bayt of Nubuwa. He is from the mine of wisdom, hikmah. And hikmah is not something that you can find in books. Hikmah should come from God, wisdom. The Jews had book. Even in the Quran, you cannot find hikmah unless God inspires it into your heart. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ إِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ in Surah Zukhruf. He was addressing the Jews. The Jews had the scripture. The scripture was hudan wa nur, as Allah describes it in the Quran. But still he says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ إِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. I have brought you wisdom. What wisdom? He tried to explain for them what is the wisdom of every verse of scripture. We need someone like Isa to tell us what is the wisdom in every verse of the Quran. Otherwise, we read it, we recite it. What do we understand from it? We recite it. This Ibn al-Azraq recites it. Other people recite it. Someone believes that God is a man sitting on a throne in the heavens. Someone believes that God is just like an ethereal thing, not a real being. I mean, all of us recite the Quran, but do all of us get the wisdom from it? Wisdom Allah has to put in our hearts, and especially we need someone like Jesus to come and say, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. I have come with wisdom. وَلُؤُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ. I will describe for you, explain for you what you have disagreed among yourselves. This is what every book needs. This is what every book needs. Every book of God needs this. And this is what our Prophet told us, that I do not leave you just a book. I leave with the book wisdom as well. Someone who can blow wisdom into it, feed wisdom into it. Of course, the wisdom comes from God. And of course, the verses find life when you give it wisdom. So he said, this is فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَحْلِ بَيْتُ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدِنِ الْحِكْمَةِ. This is the mine of wisdom. As if he's saying that, I am amazed you are asking me, sitting here beside Ibn Rasulullah, and you are asking me. And he himself wants to speak to you. He said, no, I'm not asking you. Anyhow, after Abdullah ibn Abbas said this, فَقَالَ لَهُ سَفْلِي. He said, okay, explain to me. What is the Lord? فَقَالَ لَهُ أَصِفُهُ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. He said, I don't say anything except what Allah himself has described in the Quran. بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ means in the Quran. Except what he has described himself, the manner in which he has described himself. وَأُعَرِّفُهُ بِمَا عَرَّفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. And I make him known to you the way he has made himself known to us. La yudraku bil hawas. First of all, one of the most common things that people thought, especially this Khawarij on those days, that Allah is someone that we eventually can see, can feel. He said he is not going to be understood, captured by senses. And certainly he is not. Otherwise he would have been limited. Anything you want to capture by your senses, you have to delimit, and God cannot be delimited. So he said, لا يدرك بالحواس. Second thing, and this is a controversy from the beginning of the revelation of the Quran up till now, ولا يقاس بالناس. You cannot compare him with people. When Allah speaks about his wrath, his mercy, his pleasure, his anger, do not think that it's like our anger, our pleasure, our wrath. It's not like that. When Allah says, I test you, do not think that it's like when we test others to know what is the situation. لا يقاس بالناس. He cannot be compared with people. And this is a very, very deep concept. That's how we have to understand God. Most of us, what we think about God is, of course, not something which is described by God himself. قَرِيبٌ. He's very close. خَيْرُ مُلْتَزِقٌ. But not like the closeness of two bodies to each other, sticking to each other. He's very close, like sticking to you, but it's not like that. بَعِيدٌ غَيْرُ مُقَصَّى. He's very far, but not the way that you think that he's absent, no. Now, these contradictory sort of descriptions of God is the best indication how we have to understand God. And this is used in the Quran. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ in Surah Hadid. والظاهر والباطن. He's the first, he's the last, he's the manifest, he's the hidden. Not that sometimes he's hidden, sometimes he's manifest. No, always he's manifest, always he's hidden. He's manifest in his creation, he's hidden in his essence. We have to understand this. Why? Because this, he is different from us. لا إله إلا هو الكبير المتعال. لا إله إلا هو الكبير المتعال قال فبكى ابن الأزرق بكاء شديدا. This ابن الأزرق started to cry. Very severely he started to cry. فقال له الحسين عليه السلام ما يبكيك. Why do you cry? قال بكيت من حسن وصفك. Because this is a very beautiful description of God that you make. And I tell you, if you go to traditions of A'im alayhi salam, the way they describe God, your heart would go out to meet him sooner rather than later. And you can compare this to the way other companions of the Prophet have described God. Just compare it. I think for me personally, this is the best evidence of the difference. The way the A'imma have described God, have described his power, his arsh, his malakut, his mulk, and the way others have done it. Just you can see the difference. You can see the sweetness and the terseness of one against the other. قال يا ابن الأزرق. Now Imam Hussein, after Ibn al-Azraq has come down in his attitude, has cried because of this description. He says, إني أخبرت أنك تكفر أبي وأخي وتكفرني. He said, I've heard that you say that my father and my brother and myself, we are all kafir. This is why he didn't want to speak to him initially. He said, أخبرت أنك تكفر أبي وأخي وتكفرني. You make kafir of my father, my brother, and myself. Nafi' says, لَإِنْ قُلْتُ ذَاقْ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمُ الْحُكَّامُ وَمَعَالِمَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَلَمَّا بُدِّلْتُمْ إِسْتَبْدَلْنَا بِكُمْ. Now, two meanings can be derived from this. The meaning that I understand, which is a bit different from the translation made here, is that because you decided to become hukam, rulers, and you made decisions which were against the decisions of God, then of course you were kuffar. La hukma illa lillah, this was the motto of Khawarij, only Allah should rule. Which is a right statement used for wrong purpose. As Amir al-Mu'mineen said, kalimatu haqqan yuradu bihal batil. This is a right statement, but used for a wrong purpose. Now, if you change, we change our view. This is one meaning. The other meaning is that, which is very far-fetched to understand, is that initially Allah had installed you as hukam and ma'alim al-Islam, but other people replaced you by others, and then we went for others. This is the meaning which is written here in translation. Now, this is not very important. What I wanted to mention about the verse of the Quran, this was description of Allah given by Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, and of course, the best descriptions you can find about God are in the du'as of A'imma alayhi salam and the Prophet, peace be upon him. Why? Because when A'imma and Prophet, peace be upon him, they talk to other people, which made the hadith, they talked according to their understanding. Inna ma'ashirul anbiya umirna أن نكلم الناس على قدر عقولهم. We are commanded to speak to people according to the level of their understanding. على قدر عقولهم. So, when they speak to people, when they want to describe for them God or Akhirah or whatever, they speak according to the understanding, the capacity of the addressee, of the one who has questioned them. But in their dua, there is no such a limitation. They say whatever they want, because now they are speaking to God. And you find the highest and the best descriptions of Allah, of Aqeedah, of human being, of relationship of man with God in the du'as of A'imma. Look in Sahifa Sajjadi and you will see. You will see what mine of knowledge is there. Ma'adanul Hikmah, as Ibn Abbas said, these are Ma'adanul Hikmah, these are the mines of wisdom. And you can see that there. Now these descriptions which are made addressed to Ibn al-Azraq or others, these are according to the understanding of the addressee, but when they speak to God, there is no limitation. Okay. Then Hussein alayhi salam, فَقَالَ لَهُ الْحُسَيْنِ يَبْنَ الْعَزْرَقِ أَسْأَلُكَ عَنْ مَسْأَلَةٍ فَأَجِبْنِي. Now I want to ask you a question, and I want you to answer. عجبني أن قول الله لا إله إلا هو وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغ أشدهما ويستخرج كنزهما. I want to ask you about this verse. This verse, of course, you know, very famous in Surah Kahf, in the story of Khizr and Musa, alayhim as-salam. When Khazr did certain things and Musa didn't understand the ta'wil of it, the meaning of it. And if we do not understand the ta'wil of an action, we are confused. We ask questions, the meaning of an act. And that's why always we are confused about what Allah does. A very young, talented person suddenly dies. We don't know the wisdom, we become confused. We don't know the meaning of it. We don't know the ta'wil of it. Some people are rich, they are exploding of money. Some people are very poor, they are dying of hunger. And we ask God, why? Why? Because we don't know the ta'wil of this. We don't know the meaning of it. And it's our story here with God is just like the story of Musa and Khizr. Khizr did certain things Musa didn't understand why, and he objected. And we also don't understand the meaning of certain things that Allah does, and we say, why? Why have you created us in this world? Then will you take us to hell or paradise? You know everything. Initially, you could take us to hell or paradise. Why? We don't know the ta'wil of this. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي تَأْوِيلُهُ The day when the ta'wil of all these come. You see, Musa alayhi salam was very lucky. Because after a short while, Khizr alayhi salam said that سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا I will explain to you the ta'wil of all these, the meaning of all these, what I did. You know what he did? They boarded on a ship, on a boat, and they were very good people, nice people, very nice to them, and suddenly Khizr broke the ship, the boat. And Musa didn't understand why. The meaning was not clear. Okay, I have given a note to request you to please stand up and come a little bit forward. Yes, Musa alayhi salam was lucky. He was given the ta'wil of all those very quickly. But we have to wait until the day of judgment to see the ta'wil of all these questions that we have. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي تَأْوِيلُهُ يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ نَسُوهُ مِنْ قَابِلْ قَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ Everyone would say, yes, everything was haq, everything was right, everything was correct. The same way as Khizr explained to Musa everything. And Musa was convinced. He said, yes, you were right, I was wrong. I didn't know the ta'wil, the meaning of what you were doing. He thought that, قَالَ أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرَقَ أَهْلَى You wanted to make everyone drown. That's why you broke the ship, the ark. And he said, no, I broke it because there was a war going on, and every boat and ship was confiscated by the ruler. And these people were very poor. Had their ship been confiscated, they would have left without provision. I broke it so that it is not confiscated. You see the difference between the meaning sometimes? The difference between the meaning? Now, the third thing that Khizr did and Musa didn't understand was that they came to a village or a city, and the people of that city were very mean. Very mean, very miserly. They didn't offer them any food. They even probably asked to work for them to get some food. They rejected. And when they just were coming out of that city, a wall was on the verge of collapse. And Khizr alayhi salam said that now we have to do something here. We have to destroy this wall and rebuild it again so that it is not vanished. It doesn't destroy. And they did. And then Musa asked, why did we do this to the people of this city? Now, he said, this is what Imam Hussein mentions here. Ammal jadar. فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَ This wall Of course, by wall meant, of course, a wall which was round a garden or a farm or whatever. This wall belonged to two orphans in the city. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. There was a treasure underneath. Had this wall collapsed, the people, you saw how mean and miserly the people were. They would have found out about the treasure and they would have come and taken it. And they would have actually devoured the rights of these orphans. Allah didn't want this. أَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. Allah wanted them to become mature. وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا. And then they find out about their treasure and they take it. However, there was one reason why God did this. Imam alayhi salam is actually underlying this one, this point. Allah says, why did I do this to these orphans? Not because of themselves. I didn't do it because of themselves. Well, he might have done, but here he says, I didn't do it because of themselves. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a good man. Actually, I wanted to reward the father, not the boys. I wanted to reward the father. Or take it this way, I wanted to honor that Saleh, that good man. I wanted somehow to honor him in his children. I didn't want his children to go poor. I didn't want them to lose what belonged to them. I wanted to honor that man. Kana abuhuma salih, I wanted to honor that man. Then Imam says, okay, I ask you one question. You have heard, you have read this verse. I ask you one question. Ayyuhuma afzal? Abuhuma am Rasulullah wa Fatima? Which one do you think would have higher honor? The father of those two orphans or the Prophet and Fatima? Which one have more honor? Of course, he doesn't say anything about Ali because he knows the view of Nafi ibn al-Azraq about Ali. Peace be on him. He doesn't say anything about him. He says, okay, I ask you, Kana abuhuma saliha. Their father was Saleh, and that's why Allah wanted to honor him, and his children were honored because of their father. I ask you, their father would have been higher than Rasulullah and Fatima? He said, of course not. Rasulullah wa Fatima, bintu Rasulullah, they are higher in dignity. He said that, so why did you not honor us for their dignity? Fama hafidhahuma or hafidhtahuma. Maybe there is something wrong in the script. Why did you not honor them? Allah says, for the honor of, and look how delicately and deeply Imam finds testification, witness from the Quran. He says, Allah honored those two orphans because of their father. And their father certainly said, Kana abuhuma salih, a good man. Not better than Rasulullah, not better than Fatima. And you have not honored them in their children. Certainly did not. Now the answer of Ibn al-Azraq is very interesting. Very interesting. فَنَحَذَ ثُمَّ نَفَضَ بِثَوْبِهِ. He stood and shook his dress and said, قَدْ نَبَّأَنَا اللَّهُ أَنْكُمْ مَأْشَرَ قُرَيْشٍ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمٌ. Allah has told us in the Quran about you Quraysh, meaning of course Hussein ibn Ali as one of them, you Quraysh, that you are a very debating people, arguing all the time. It means that you are arguing with me about this. Why did we not keep your honor? I want to ask this, if this is the attitude of people of the time, And this Ibn al-Azra was a very well-known man in his time, respected by many people. If this is the attitude, how should Allah treat them? Of course, the rule of Allah in every nation is the same. In every nation. Whether we are Jews or Christians or Muslims or whatever, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُ. When they deviated, Allah made their hearts to deviate. And this is what happened. And that is why for Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam happened what happened. The story is amazing. I mean, how could Muslims come together and kill the grandson of the Prophet? They were reciting the Quran, Kana Abuhuma Saliha. Their father was a right man. I honored the children because of their father. This is what Fatima, peace be on her, said when he went to the mosque, arguing for her right. And she said that, have you not heard Rasulullah saying that a person is usually honored in their children? If you honor the children of a person, you have honored that person. And now, what is done to Husayn ibn Ali? As I said, the heart is a very delicate being, creation. Now, you think of something close to God, you think of someone close to God, you sympathize with someone close to God, suddenly your heart turns towards God. And this is why we always try to remember those who are very close to God, to sympathize with them, to follow them, to make them our examples, because the hearts turn. If you go to a session and hear about a vile person, a vicious person, all the time hear the story of a vicious person, and this person is becoming somehow a hero, you honor them, then your heart deviates towards that type of life. And if you always hear about good people, hear about those who were close to God, your heart turns towards that direction. And this is why, especially this commemoration of Husayn alayhi salam is a blessing for us. It makes our hearts turn towards God. Because we are sympathizing with the people who were close to God. We are sympathizing with the people who were so dedicated to their Lord. Now, the Muslim Ummah did this. What Allah did to them is clear. The history is very clear. And we hope that Allah would forgive Muslims for what they have done. But I tell you, I believe one of the most important gestures of rejecting what was done and sympathizing with Hussein is just commemorating him all the time. And this is what in Arba'in actually was done by one of the companions of the Prophet, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And after him, he actually set this sunnah of visiting Imam Hussein's tomb in Arba'in, and then this became a sunnah to commemorate. And of course, the time was not a very good time, not a very comfortable time. He had to somehow cautiously take the journey to Karbala so that no one knows. It is reported that he was blind or half blind at the time. He couldn't travel on his own. So he went to one of the companions of the Prophet, one other companion of the Prophet, who he trusted. And he said that, have you heard the news, what has happened? And the news had come before, of course, Ahlul Bayt had arrived. And he said, yes. He said, I want to go and visit Hussein alayhi salam. And of course, Jabir was someone who had seen Hussein alayhi salam growing on the laps of the Prophet, peace be on him. He was older than Hussein alayhi salam, much older. He was present in Badr. And he had seen all those affections offered to Hussein alayhi salam by the Prophet. And now, of course, someone like Jabir would feel absolutely, absolutely down hearing this news. So they came. They went towards Karbala. How long the journey took, we don't know, but they were there in Arba'in, in such an occasion. And when they went, they arrived there, you know the story, I just repeat it to just commemorate the occasion. Jabir said to Atiyah, he was either Atiyah ibn al-Harith al-Kufi or Atiyah al-Ufi, or they maybe have been the same person, told him that took me to Furat, of course that branch of Furat which was close. He made ghusl there. He had very clean dresses. He put some perfume on himself to honor Hussein alayhi salam, saying that when I am going to visit him, I have to be in my best stature and situation. So he went there and he asked Atiyah to place his hand on the grave. And when Atiyah placed his hand on his grave, he just said, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, three times. And he fell unconscious. So Atiyah sprinkled some water on his face and he came back. And he said, Habibun la yujibu habibahu. Hussein, you are my Habib. Now I am calling you. You do not answer me. And then he said to himself, and how can he answer while between his head and his body there's long distance? His head is severed from his body. And it is reported that while Jabir was there, the caravan of the captives arrived from Sham from that way towards Medina. Of course, they had asked the leader of the caravan to bring them from this way so that they could visit the tombs, and they fawafaw fi zamanin wahid, as is reported, they met in one at one time there. Now, of course, the story is very heartbreaking. When Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam met Jabir. Jabir was part of family, actually. He was part of family. He used to visit them most of the times. So the hadith says, when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, after all this long time of seeing enemies and enemies and enemies, being reviled, mistreated, and all these things, now he has seen a member of the family. Now you can imagine what happens. Qala anta Jabir. He said, Jabir, is this you? And Jabir said, yes, Yabna Rasulullah, I'm Jabir. And he said, Jabir, let me tell you what happened. And he started to tell Jabir the story. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma salli.